down just a little, probably a lot. This mic seems like it's a little bit more sensitive. Does that sound good enough, or is that too loud? Is that about right? What? Psalms chapter 105. Well, it's good to have each of you with us this evening. I appreciate you coming out. I've been kind of concerned about the crowds on Wednesdays and Sunday nights. The crowds on Sunday mornings are big. I realize that, and I'm thankful for that. I like consistency. I like consistency in, on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and Wednesday night when folks can. So we do appreciate the number that's out this evening. Psalms 105, I'm going to go ahead and give you the title of that so you can go ahead and write that down. Psalms 105, it's remember his marvelous works. And we're going to base that on verse 4 of Psalms 105. It says, seek the Lord and his strength, glory. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works. So that's going to be the title to the psalm, and it's very fitting that it be titled that way, because what it does is it's a historical psalm, and it just looks back at Israel's history. It's going to start with Abraham, the covenant made with Abraham, and bring you down to whenever they enter the land of Canaan. So really it covers from, you could say, from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Joshua. It's a survey, no detail, just gives you a brief survey of their history. So that's the reason why we entitled it, Remember His Marvelous Works. God had done great things for the nation of Israel. And one of the most important things is to remember the great things that God has done. Not only personally, I mean, we got to remember that personally, the great things that God has done, but also as a nation. We got to remember the great thing. God's done great things for America. There's the problem is America's turning its back on the Lord. It's biting the hands that fed it, as we always said. It's a progressive, as Brother Clarence prayed, it's just been a progressive slide downhill. But if you look back at our history, the Lord has done great things for America. And he's still doing great things for America. Yet, we soon forget the great things that he's done. So what they did is they put this in a song. And, of course, psalms are songs, and you put this history in a song and people learn to sing it, it would be a constant reminder to you of the great things that God did. So remember his marvelous works is the title of this psalm. It's going to go back, and it's going to look at their history just for a little bit. Let me give you our outline for it. Verses 1 through 4 is rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Verses 1 through 4. Verses 5 through 45, remember his work. Remember his work, verses 5 through 45. And then we'll break that down a little bit. Just wanted to give you just basically two point outline for memory's sake, but then we'll break it down a little bit as we go down through it. Verses 1 through 4, rejoice. Verses 5 through 45, remember. And that's basically what it's going to tell you to do. Now this psalm just jumps right in with praise. It really does. And jumps right in with rejoice. Of course, to praise and rejoice means basically the same thing. But look at what it says. Oh, give thanks. Here you have it again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Now, that's how it opens up. And, of course, one of the reasons to give thanks, when you look at their history for what all God has done for them, there's reasons to give thanks. Well, I did a little something for you. I went back and looked up several things about thanks. As a matter of fact, if you look at 106... Look at 106, verse 1, it starts out the same way. Praise ye the Lord, O, give thanks unto the Lord. So, what I looked up, I just went into a concordance and looked up this in the Psalms. I counted 22 times where the word thanks was used, and I counted 10 times where the word thanksgiving was used. So, that's about 32 times in the Psalms where it stresses thanksgiving in these great hymns of praise. So that's a lot of thanks, isn't it? And it reminds you, you think the Lord would just have to tell us one or two times to give thanks, but it's something that you have to do over and over, and it should be something you do every day of your life. Now, I want to remind you some of the things that it says about thanks so you can understand the importance of it. Psalms chapter 69, I'd ask you to turn there. Psalms chapter 69, Just to remind you some of the things that this great text says about thanks. Psalms chapter 69. Notice what it says at verse 30 and 31. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving magnifies the Lord. Now notice what it says in verse 31. This also shall please the Lord. Now, if you want to do something that pleases the Lord, now, does everybody in the house want to do that? You know, if you're here tonight, and you might think, if you're saved, you should have one of the great desires of your heart should be you'd want to please the Lord. If you want to do something that really pleases Him, give Him thanks. It says, this also shall please the Lord. So, this is something that we need to do. Just not once a year or not once in a while. It needs to be something that we do every day of our life is we need to give Him thanks. Because it's what? It pleases Him. It pleases the Lord. Now let's look at a second thing in the text. Let's turn to chapter 92. Chapter 92 of the book of Psalms. And let's notice verse 1. Not only does it please the Lord, but in Psalms 92 and verse 1 it says that it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Psalms 92:1 says, it is a good thing, or it is good to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises. So not only does it please the Lord when you give Him thanks, but He says it's a good thing. And of course, if you're here tonight and saved, you want to do a good thing, then give Him thanksgiving. And of course, there's abundant reasons for that. Psalms chapter 116, I know we'll do a lot of this tonight, but I just want to, again, stress thanksgiving. Psalms chapter 116. Says in verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? What can I render, what can I give back to the Lord for all His benefits. Now, the Lord's benefits towards us, we can't number them, can we? And we, especially if you're just thinking about our spiritual benefits, our redemption, justification, forgiveness of sins, child of God, all these things, we can't even put a price tag on those. Those are infinite in value. So what shall we render to the Lord for all His benefits? Notice what it says in verse 17. Here's one thing you can render to the Lord. Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, in the new covenant, we're all priests. Now, we don't offer animal sacrifices to the Lord, do we? But what we are to offer, according to the book of Hebrews, we're to offer sacrifices of praise and giving of thanks. Those are considered sacrifices. Those are offerings that we give to the Lord, and that's a daily offering that we should give to Him every day. So what does it do? Giving thanks. Why is that? Because it pleases Him. Because it's a good thing. Because it's a sacrifice that we as New Covenant priests offer to the Lord. Okay? Now let me ask you a question, and I'm not going to ask you to do this, but I am. But pretend. Pretend I'd ask you to stand. And if I'd ask you to stand tonight, everybody that spent time today giving God thanks, could you stand? Could you stand? As you survey your day from this point backward all the way to this morning, have you give God a sacrifice of thanksgiving today for your salvation, for your forgiveness of sins, or for another day to live and breathe and have your being? Have you? You know, we should open up our day that way. Do you agree? That's the best way to start your day. As soon as you, it don't have to be no big, long, elaborate thing. But just as soon as your eyes come open, you think, "Man, the Lord's given me another day. The Lord's given me another. Lord, thank you. Thank you for another day to live. And Lord, I want to thank you for saving old Jeff's soul, washing me clean. You know, thank you for being with me." For the opportunities today. You know, start your day that way. You go in there and flop down in front of the news and hear all that bad news and all those type of things, you'll have a whole lot worse day. It's the same news pretty much all the time anyway. But if you start your day with praise, try, I shouldn't say try it, but Do it! And you'll start your day a whole lot better. And when you start to count the great things the Lord has done, Psalms 118, this is the day the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay. So this psalm starts that way. I just wanted to mention that to you. Thanksgiving pleases the Lord. Turn back to Psalms 105. That's the reason why you want to do it, because it pleases Him. That's the main motivation, because it pleases Him. But I'm also going to tell you, without running into ground, it also has an effect on you. It raises you up. It really does. It pleases Him, and it's a good thing, but it's also a good thing for you. All right? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, and it says to call upon His name. Call upon His name. Now, is it a privilege to call on His name? I thought about that. You know, I was meditating on different parts of this text and thinking about it, and I thought, man, what a privilege it is in this world to be able to call upon the name of the Most High God. I just think that's the most awesome thing. I mean, that's just something you just read over in a text. You know what I mean? Just read over it real fast. That's a deep thing. Can you imagine? I thought if the president would give me a card with his special phone number on it. See, here, Jeff, if you need anything, you call me. I thought the president would do that for me. Now, I don't think he would. But if he would, wouldn't that be an awesome thing? Or maybe the richest financial man in the world would walk up and say, now listen, if you got any trouble here, you give me a call. Right here's my special number. That comes right to me. It passes the secretaries, and you call me anytime. Would you consider that a bit? If I don't like this guy, but Donald Trump would say, here's my card. You call me if you're in a bind. Anytime, day or night. That would be a pretty good benefit. You know, if a man needs a little money, that'd be a pretty good benefit. Or if you had, or the governor would call you and say, now, Coy, buddy, if you need anything, this is my number. Only me and my wife has it. You call it. Now, we would consider that awesome. God's done that for us. And there's no one as high up as Him. He is high and lifted up. So He says, call upon His name. And I began to dwell on that. I kind of got a little bit happy because, man, what kind of privilege is that worth? I mean, what kind of price tag could you put to be able to call upon Him? I can wake up at midnight and run in there and call on His name. Or stay right there and call on His name. I think it's one of those things that we just don't thank God enough for, Brother Mike, is to be able to call on Him. What would life be in this old world if you couldn't call on the Master? I just think it's great. I think that's why that's listed there. It says, make known His deeds among the people. Make known His deeds among the people. Now, the greatest deed that we need to make, wasn't Christ's greatest deed that He's done? Of course, He saved us, didn't He? He died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day. We need to make that deed known. We need to do that. That's our job. And it's a privilege to be able. He didn't have to use us to do that, but it's a privilege to do that. Make known His deeds amongst the people. And especially His way of salvation. His plan of salvation. I remember this text and trying to work back in some other psalms just for our memory's sake. Psalms chapter 67. Notice what it says, verse 2. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health. The idea of saving health is just thy salvation. That thy way may be made known upon the earth, thy salvation among all nations. So that's one thing, Brother Lee, that we are to make that known. We're to make known His plan. And that's one of the main jobs of His New Testament church, is to make known the great deed that He done when He died 2,000 years ago and rose again the third day. It's our job to do that. Now, how do we do it? We all know we're supposed to make it known. but in a lot of cases, we don't really make it known that much. I'm going to give you some things to do, and you think about them. Number one, you need to pray that the Lord would save someone, or pray that the Lord would give you an opportunity to witness to someone. If you really want to make it known, then you ask the Lord to open up doors for you to do that. It just seems like anymore, anybody I come into contact with, I think in the back part of my mind, I wonder if the Lord wants me to talk to this fellow about the Lord. I'm going to test the waters here a little bit, you know, and see, maybe this might be one of his lost sheep. I just think when he brings you into contact sometime, I just think that these are purpose for all of it. And I have a desire to tell it. So I'll say, Lord, open up me opportunities to share this great deed with folks. I don't really think, Jim died, that I'd get any greater joy on this planet than doing that. I can't rightly think of anything that I'd rather do than tell a sinner about Jesus Christ. I'd rather do that as eat. And you pray for that. You ask the Lord to give you that opportunity. And then when you ask, Aunt Linda, you need to look for it. You need to look for it, you know. And then don't be embarrassed. I mean, there's a song, I don't know what it's called. It's one Jeff and Jeremy listens to. It's Here We Go Again, I believe is the name of it. Talking about the rain and talking about this when they need to be talking about the gospel. Talk about everything else to people but the gospel. Bring it around to the gospel. Bring it around the things of God. If there's a door there, it'll open, Jim. If it's not there, it'll shut and then go on. For crying out loud, don't hurt test the waters a little bit. We've got something that people need to have. And we got a message that they need to hear. And we need to make that deed known among the people. That's one of the most important things you can do. Not only that deed, but all these deeds. Your favorite conversation should be about the Lord, what he's done for you. Make known his deeds. Therefore, a good while I didn't share a whole lot about sermon audio at the church, because I don't know why I didn't. I'm afraid that people get the wrong idea from it, maybe think you're bragging or something. Until I read in the book of Acts and what Paul would do when he would come in, he would declare to the people what God had done. And when I shared certain things about the different ministries of the church, I'm not sharing those things to brag. If I was doing it for that reason, I wouldn't say nothing at all. But I share it to show you what God is doing so that you can thank God. And every time you see Paul, whenever he shares with he gathers together in the book of Acts of groups of people, and he declares what God had done. He don't say what we have done for God, what God has done. And that's the way it is with everything we do. Anything that gets done, God gets the praise for it, because he's the one that opens the doors and opens the hearts, and he's the one that uses it behind the scenes. So you make known his deeds. You make known the things that he's done. You share with people the things that God has. Make his deeds known amongst the people. Okay? All right, let's move on to verse 2. So verse 1 had a lot in it, didn't it? Let's just go ahead and go to verse 2. It says, we're still looking at praise. You praise him by giving him thanks. You praise him by calling on his name. And of course, you rejoice also by making his deeds known, telling people the things that he's done for you. Could it be God's not done nothing for you? That didn't even sound bad for me to say that, didn't it? Well, he's done great things for us. And we can share that. We can share that. Now, if you can't see that, now I'm going to be honest with you. If you can't see that he's done great things for you, you've drifted, see? Your focus is down. That hurts you too, don't it? You're not real happy right now, are you? When you know that he's done great things, and you've got that spirit of thanksgiving that he puts in your heart, it's different. Okay? Verse 2, sing unto him, sing songs unto him. I'm not going to go into that, because how many times have we seen that so far in these Psalms? Sing unto the Lord. Sing psalms unto the Lord. Psalms 95:1, sing unto the Lord. Psalms 96:1, sing unto the Lord. Over and over again, you're encouraged to sing. I love to sing. I love to sing to him. Used not like to. As a younger preacher, I just hoped how soon the singing was over so I could preach. Man, I love to sing to him now. And when I sing, when you sing, you focus on the words you're singing, obviously. And you focus on who you're singing to. And that changes the way you sing. I love to sing to him. Every now and then, you've seen me do it here before, I'll break and sing a few extra songs. We can do that. We can do that. No limit to what we can sing at times. Lord loves singing when you mean it and it's from your heart. So We're not going to spend a lot of time. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Now, certainly we're to talk about the Lord. That's my favorite conversation. I like to talk about the Lord. But I think the idea of this word talk, if you look it up in other places like Psalms 119, I think I've looked it up there. Verse 15, verse 23, 48, 78. The idea of this is to meditate. To muse in your mind is more the idea of that word as opposed to talk. It means to think about the Lord. To meditate on Him. One of the characteristics of the lost man is that God's not in his thoughts. But a characteristic of the people of God is God's in their thoughts. See, God's in your thoughts. He gets in your mind. And you meditate on him. You think about him. You think about what he's done. You think about a text of Scripture and you roll that over again in your mind. See, that's the idea of that, is to meditate on the Lord. Think about him. Okay? It says, verse 3, glory ye in his holy name. That means the glory carries the idea of praising. Praise ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Let what rejoice? That's what you're after. A rejoicing heart. Not just rejoicing from here. Now, of course, if you're rejoicing from here, it'll come out there. But you want to rejoice in here. A rejoicing heart. So it says, let our hearts rejoice. Let the heart of them that rejoice that seek the Lord. You want to rejoice right down in here. That's the best kind of rejoicing, isn't it? When you just got it right down in there. And the Holy Spirit's just so filled you with His Spirit. And you just rejoice. Man, I can listen to sermons sometimes. Or I can hear a good biblical song. And man, it just rejoiced my heart. And it's right down in here. And I like that. Not just from the lips. Right down in the heart. See. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek the Lord in what? His strength. And we need God's strength to do everything we got to do, don't we? Amen. And you know it's there. Do you realize that God is obviously omnipotent. That's one of His attributes. He has all strength. And that's an endless supply. Can we really put a... I used to talk about people and we'd say, you know, he's pretty strong. We'd talk about how much they could bench press, you know. God's strength is, there's no limit to His strength. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Abundantly would seem like it'd be good enough, but exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or even think. So He has this great big supply of strength, and He gives it to us to help us. Did you realize that? He gives that supply of strength to us. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Not some things, all things. Whatever the task is that the Lord has for you to do, He'll provide you the strength to be able to do it. You believe that? Oh, or whatever that in life that you have to face, He'll provide sufficient strength to be able to hold up. Amen. That's what he means in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. He says to come boldly to his throne of grace, that you may obtain strength in time of need, you see. So he has this endless supply of it. And what we need to do is ask him for it. You'd be surprised we just don't ask him for it. Lord, I can't handle this, and just give me strength to be able to do this or whatever. Sometimes I get in preaching situations and I'm nervous, and I just, Lord, just I'm nervous. I want to represent you well, you know. I want to do a good job here with this thing, but same, I don't want to do it for my glory. I want to do it for yours, but at the same time, I don't want to look like the village idiot either. And I want you to help me. Lord, I'm scared plumb to death. You know, I've done that before. And then, buddy, when I get up, he just gives me sufficient strength to be able to do it. So he's done that for 27 years. So there's that endless supply there. It's right there for you. You just ask for it. And folks, you talk about being able to ask in faith. Brother Mike, it's always God's will to give you strength. That's always His will. You don't have to wonder whether that's His will or not. That is always His will to give you strength. And He gives it different ways. It comes in different forms sometimes, but brother, I'm going to tell you, He'll give it. He'll give it. Okay? All right. Verse 5 starts the next section. I want to spend a little bit of time on those first four verses because they do deal with praise or rejoicing and worship, which should be a large portion of our life, should be focused on those kinds of things. These things not only glorify God, but they lift you up. They lift you up also. Okay? Now, he says he's going to start dealing with what the text actually is, a historical text. And he says in verse 5, remember His marvelous works. Remember His marvelous works. Now, that's what He's done in the past. And he's starting to draw their attention towards what He had done for their nation in the past. Now, certainly we're to remember His marvelous works too, aren't we? You ever just sit down and reminisce what God's done in your past? You ever just sit down at Brother Mike and just reminisce and think about, man, look here. We were here, and then God's done this and done this. And I can look back over my life all the way back, and I can see my God's hand throughout it in everything. Down to even pastoring this church, I can see His hand in all of it. See? And man, it's good to do that. Because if He's in that much control from the past to this point, then that means He's going to be just as much in control from this point forward. I think it's awesome. So remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders, judgments. Now it says, O ye seed of Abraham. See, now He's starting to address them as Israel. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen, He is the Lord our God. So there it kind of focuses on God's sovereignty at the beginning. The reason, you know why Israel was God's people? Because God chose them. And you know, I could just about go anywhere in the United States and say that, and everybody would agree with me. And I have a bit of trouble with what I just said. But at the same time, when you talk about how God chooses people to salvation today, they act like you're from Mars. Now talk about, why was Israel His nation? We all know God chose it. I could show you other texts, but I'll just quote a couple for you. In the book of 1 Samuel 12:22, I've given this to you in the past. It said, it hath pleased the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you, I like this. I love this verse. This will preach sometime. It said, it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. That's why Israel was His people, because it pleased the Lord to do so. Now, you want to know why you're His people here tonight, if you're here tonight and saved? Because it pleased the Lord to make you His people. That's why you're at. He chose you too. He chose you too. In the New Testament, I'm not going to go back and re-preach the book of Ephesians to you, but the New Testament makes that crystal clear. I listened to a preacher that about a month or two ago, and had a very difficult time listening to him since. It made me so mad. Very knowledgeable. Very knowledgeable preacher. Fantastic outliner. Beautiful preaching voice. Whole lot prettier preaching voice than I did. But when he started talking about the doctrine of choosing, which is the doctrine of election, he started talking about that doctrine. He said that was a very foolish doctrine. And just blasphemed it. And evil spoke it. But the same man believes God chose Israel. And I can't understand how someone can be, well, you can be so bright in other areas, but in this area so close-minded. The Bible don't teach it, don't believe it. But I'm telling you one thing, all you have to do is look at the Old Covenant He chose the nation Israel. That's why they were his people. He called Abraham. Abraham didn't go out seeking for God. God called him and made him what he was. And you have that, folks, from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelations, all the way down the day. And we'll tell you a little something else. And I've seen this in the book of Galatians, and I preached it on a radio broadcast. It said that they were Abraham's seed. Do you realize if you're here tonight and saved, you are too? Book of Galatians 3 said, if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to what? According to the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant, that unconditional covenant that God made with Abraham, he's made us a part of that covenant in Christ Jesus. He really has. That just astounds me. I just like that so well. Because what people do with the Abrahamic covenant is they completely exclude the Gentile. And the book of Galatians clearly makes us the seed of Abraham. Listen, book of Genesis 15, God said, Abraham, count the stars. So shall your seed be. Can you count the stars? They're innumerable. It's not only just the seed of the Jew by birth, but it's also Abraham's seed is all that be of faith. They that be of faith are blessed, Galatians 3 says, with faithful Abraham. So these things are true of us too. Did he choose us? Sure did. According to the New Testament, did. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of his will. That's what she says. Now that blesses me. I thank God for that sovereign grace. Amen. Sister Betty, every day of my life I try to. Thank you for your sovereign grace. Where would I be if it wasn't for him? Where would I be without his grace? I'd still be out here in my sin somewhere. By the grace of God, we are what we are. Paul said, I am what I am. But we are what we are too, by his grace. I like it. See, that's reminiscent about what he has done, isn't it? All right, let's move on. Verse 8, he hath remembered his covenant. Now, let's see if I can give you an outline here, just if I can find it. I wrote it down here somewhere for you as we looked at it. Verse 8 through 15 stresses the Abrahamic covenant, Abraham's covenant. Stresses that. God made a covenant with them. They're remembering that in 8 through 15. Okay? Now, when we come down to verse 17, we go from Abraham's covenant down to Joseph. Down to Joseph. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, then Joseph. Of course, what Joseph is famous for is God used him to help preserve the nation Israel in time of famine. I want you to look at verse 17. I want you to underline. If you do underline in your Bible, certainly, if you're afraid of adding to the word, certainly don't do that. But write it down. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold for a servant. He did what? He sent him. Who sent him? God sent him. Now, Mike, it says God sent him, did you? Have you ever read the story of Joseph? Why, his brothers hated him and threw him down into a pit. Ate their lunch while he was screaming. Wanted to come back and kill him. And they sold him to the Midianites, and they took him down to Egypt, and then he ended up in Potiphar's house. It was one calamity after the other. Didn't it look like a calamity to you? Jimmy, if somebody throwed you in a pit, wouldn't that look like a calamity? They took you away from your father's house and sold you into slavery. It looked like a calamity, and everything starts looking up for you. And then you get lied on and thrown in jail. Then you interpret a man's dream for him and then tell him not to forget you. Then he forgets you for 2 years. It looked like, in his life, it looked like one disaster after the other. But God, this means God was in charge all the way through it. He took all of those bad events and molded them together for the good. And that's what Romans 8:28 means. For we know that all things work together for the good to them who love God, to him, them who are the called according to his purpose. And you can look at Joseph's life and see that. So he said God sent him down there to preserve them. And you know Joseph knew that later on. I don't know he knew it in the beginning. Do you think he knew it in the beginning? I don't think he knew. I think he's just like me and you. What in the world? Am I cursed? I could be standing outside. I've heard people say it. I could be standing outside. It was raining. It'd be raining Campbell's soup, and I'd be standing there at the fork. Everything's going bad. But everything was looking up, buddy. I mean, everything was going right according to plan. God, isn't it? I think God sent him there. And later on in his life, Joseph knew that. And he told his brothers, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity. What does that mean? Even when it looks like things are absolutely falling apart, God's still in control. I love that. He's still on his throne and still working all things out after the counsel of his own will. But I don't think I could stand it unless I believed that. Boy, that'll carry you, Hollis. That right there will carry you when the bottom drops out. So God was in control. It didn't. Now, you read Joseph's life. It didn't look like, it looked like God was 10 billion light years away. But he was very much involved. And our master knows the end from the very beginning. And he'll let us know as we need to know. He'll let us know as we need to know. And you know what he wants us to do, Jim, till we know? He wants us to trust him. Because he's a good God. He's a good God. Oh, don't you love him so? All right, let's roll on. Goes on and tells us about Joseph on down through there. Let's move on down to verse 26. 26 picks up with Moses. Another great servant of God. Oh, look at verse 25 beforehand. I couldn't pass this by. It says, he turned their heart. Now, this is the Egyptians. You remember the Egyptians liked them for a while? But it says, he turned their heart to hate his people and to deal subtly with his servants. Who turned their heart to hate his people? God did. He could have restrained them from that, obviously, but he didn't. Why did he permit them to hate his people? He needed to get them up out of the land of Egypt to where they needed to be, the land of Canaan. That's what he told Abraham. He made the covenant with Abraham. The land of Canaan was his land. They had been in Egypt for all that time period. And then they started hating them and they started mistreating them. Now listen to me, folks. I hope you can get what I'm trying to say. Sometimes it's the suffering of Egypt that makes people long for the promised land. Amen. Did you get what I was trying to say? Sometimes the suffering of Egypt makes people long for the promised land. Have you ever saw it? Amen. I've seen it. And buddy, they did. And it made them long for it. And he turned their heart to hate his people, to get them out of there. All that persecution and trial, you know what it made? All that suffering they went through, you know what it made them want to do, Jimmy? It made them want to get out of there and go to where God had for them. See? All right, let's roll on. I got to get done. Got to get done. All right, now, we're still talking about Moses. There's one other thing here I want you to see. I can't go through all these things, but I marked some high points for you so I can get through the whole text. You can pretty much know about all the history, pretty much, but you can read the psalm in depth when you go home later on tonight. Notice, I hope I marked this down there, verse 26. helpful if I'd be in the right chapter. It's very difficult to find things in the wrong chapter. But I studied in another Bible, and I wanted to just see. Just give me a second. It talks about all the plagues that he sent. Now look at verse 39. He describes all the different plagues he brought on the Egyptians. Not all of them. I think it's about, he left out a couple. But in those verses, he describes all that he had done. All the plagues. Remember, the plagues that he brought against Egypt was not only judgments on them for the way they treated God's people, but was also against the Egyptian gods. Did y'all realize that? They served many gods. They worshipped the Nile River. He turned the Nile River to blood. Okay? They worshipped cattle god. He struck the cattle with the diseases. See, they worshiped the sun. He turned the land dark for 3 days. And you could see them crying out to their false gods to do something about this, but nothing happened till Moses called on the true God, the God of Israel. See? So it was a slap against all the gods of Egypt. He brought judgment not only on Pharaoh, but all their gods at the same time. He made his people to differ from them. He did. Verse 39, he says, he spread a cloud for a covering. Does everybody see that? And a fire to give light in the night. Now, we realize that they didn't have a road map, that what led them during the daytime was a cloud, a pillar of a cloud that became a pillar of fire at night. But it just didn't lead them. It says it covered them. It helped block the sun. You know when they walked in the wilderness, don't you think it got hot? They had cloud cover while they traveled. I love that. That's what it says. He sent a cloud for their covering. I don't know exactly if it drifted back over them or if it just blocked the sun off of them or what it did, but it did. He made sure they didn't get too awful hot. He blocked the sun off of them while they traveled. Isn't that awesome? You know that's the same God that takes care of you. Aren't you glad? He goes on down and says, let's go ahead and read on here. The people asked, and he brought quails. He fed them with meat, which looked impossible. Remember, you're talking about 2 to 3 million people out in the desert. He provided for them for 40 years. You think he can provide for you? Verse 41, he opened the rock and the waters gushed out and they ran into dry places like a river. He not only fed them, but he watered them. We done talked about that in a previous psalm. God sustains us. He's the one that feeds you. He's the one that waters you too. He makes sure you got what you need. Okay? Now let's finish this. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. It means he kept his word. This psalm's taking you from the Abrahamic covenant, bringing you right down to where they entered the land of Canaan, and that was one part of the Abrahamic covenant, the land of Canaan. Stretched out to a much greater land, though, I want you to understand. Remember, Abraham searched for a city whose builder and maker was? See, it's a bigger covenant than that land. There's a much greater land than that land. Okay? And he gave them the lands of the heathen. Who gave them their lands? God gave them their lands. And they inherited the labor of the people. They inherited homes and houses that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Now, how does the psalm close? Pray opened with praise. Closed with praise, rehearsed their history. Now you see what's in it. May God add his blessings. Let's all stand.